Hello, and welcome to Capital Compass. We are the official podcast of the New York State Catholic Conference. I'm your host, Jillian. Today, in episode 37, I'll be talking with Mother Mary Concepta and Sister Virginia Joy about the ministries of the Sisters of Life. Throughout the 2024 legislative session, we are giving you updates on what is happening in Albany. Without further ado, here is your Legislative Minute. Welcome to the Legislative Minute. I'm your host, Jillian. Today, recording the Legislative Minute is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. It's crunch time in Albany for the New York State budget as lawmakers race to meet the March 31st deadline. As this episode is recorded, it remains unclear whether that will be accomplished. With Easter falling on that day, the budget realistically would need to be finished by Thursday. There is a likelihood that the legislature and governor will come to an agreement on an extender to finish the process after the holiday. Among the items we are looking at for Catholic schools are securing additional funds for health, safety, and security initiatives, instructional materials, and academic intervention services for our students. Lawmakers are also considering a $2 billion bond issue, which would need voter approval, to provide updated technology funding for energy efficiency projects for schools. In terms of human services, our New York State Council of Catholic Charities Directors is looking for full funding for the Health Home Program, which provides care coordination for health, behavioral health, and human services care to at-risk children and others. They also seek additional funding for the statewide supervised visit program, as well as a cost of living adjustment for the human services workforce. The Catholic Conference is encouraging lawmakers to accept Governor Hochul's proposals regarding maternal health, including paid leave for prenatal care, increased access to doula care, and maternal health initiatives. We'll update you on the enacted state budget and how our priorities fared on our next episode of Capital Compass. We'll be back after a brief message. Are you interested in staying up to date with New York State legislation pertinent to the Catholic Church? Do you want your Catholic voice to be heard? Sign up for the Catholic Action Network by going to our website at nyscatholic.org/action-center or texting CAN to 50457. Again, CAN, C-A-N, to 50457. Founded by the late Cardinal John O'Connor in 1991, the Congregation of the Sisters of Life was created to promote the sanctity of human life. Mother Agnes Mary Donovan was among the first to join and became the first Superior General in 1993. After 30 years of service, Mother Agnes Mary stepped down from her leadership role. Joining us today on the podcast is her successor, Mother Mary Concepta, who assumed the role of Superior General of the Sisters of Life on June 1st of 2023, and Sister Virginia Joy, who previously served as Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So this is my first interview with two people, so I am very excited.
Awesome.
So I guess I'll start by asking, a lot of our people of religious life this question. What's your vocation story? What attracted you to the Sisters of Life? You know, I know there are so many religious orders to choose from. Kind of what made you form your decision to join the Sisters?
Well, this is Mother Mary Concepta sharing. I grew up in a family with seven siblings, and my parents were very open to life and really formed that in my heart, that openness and knowing that every pregnant woman, every unborn child, every person is unique and sacred and unrepeatable. So that really was formed in me as a little girl. Even to the extent that my mom often we would pick up pregnant women on our way to high school, because my mom was committed that those that were going to be choosing life as young teenagers, that they would be able to finish their high school diploma. So, which was often a temptation to drop out when you're pregnant as a young person. So that was kind of the what I was formed in. And fast forward, many years when I was in college. I went to Franciscan University of Steubenville, and one of my good friends in college ended up getting pregnant, through a date rape, which was very scary and traumatic. And I didn't know how to encourage and support her, but thanks be to God, she actually found out about the Sisters of Life and was invited to live with them for a time. And Mother Agnes and Cardinal O'Connor personally walked her through the journey of discerning adoption. And ultimately, that was what she felt God was asking her to do, the way in which she was going to live her maternity for this little girl. And so when she, made that entrustment and came back to school, she wouldn't stop encouraging me to visit the Sisters of Life. And I did not think I had a vocation, but nonetheless, she was relentless. And I did, over a series of visits and a discernment retreat, come to understand that God was inviting me to this vocation. And because of just my natural disposition towards pro-life and upholding the dignity of the human person, it seemed like a natural fit. And just being given the freedom through God's unconditional love of me to make that choice for him. So that was kind of how my journey in coming to know about the Sisters was really through a friend of mine who was in a situation where she needed that support. So
that's beautiful.
Do you want to tell your vocation story, sister?
Sure. Yeah. I know I got a little time. I got some time to think about it as Mother was explaining her own. I grew up in the South, not exposed to religious at all, but I went to Catholic grade school and, learned about abortion. I don't know the exact time I learned about it, but I remember being pretty young and just the sorrow of having an understanding of what abortion was. And I remember going with my parents to pray outside of abortion clinics when I was young. And I can remember specifically, though, in middle school, we had a parish mission and, different talk every night. And, the last thing I want to do in middle school is be at a parish mission. But my parents had me go. And this particular night, a woman came up to the front of the church who was going to be speaking. And I knew her. Her kids went to my school. She was friends with my mom. And it was obvious once she faced the congregation that she had been crying. And it came to be that her talk was about forgiveness and God's mercy. And she proceeded to basically tell the story of her own past abortions in college and the experience that she had. And I'll never forget one thing she said. Here she is. She was in college, gets pregnant, very afraid, doesn't know who she can tell. She and the boyfriend, they think the only option is abortion. And she remembers praying, and just looking kind of frantically as they drove to the abortion clinic, looking for a sign. And I remember she said, a bumper sticker would have stopped me. she wasn't trying to blame anyone, but she just, how desperate she was to be told by someone, you have another choice, you have another option. And I was so profoundly struck by that, and it just stayed with me, and certainly never thought, I had a vocation to religious life. I too went to Franciscan University a couple years after Mother Mary Concepta, and again, was a business major, wasn't thinking religious life. And after college, worked with teenagers. I worked with pregnant teens in Los Angeles, troubled teens in Wyoming, and as a high school counselor eventually back home. And again, seeing this question in teenagers, that this wrestling with my value, my worth, and the charism of life that, we take as a fourth vow, giving our lives to this, it's, it kind of expresses itself through service to pregnant women and vulnerable women. But all of us need this charism of life to really know, that we're each chosen, wanted, loved, necessary. So when I heard about the Sisters of Life, and, received really a vocational grace that God was calling me, it only made sense that this was the charism that, stirred my heart. And I knew I was being called, to lay down my life so that others might live, as the cardinal would say.
The Sisters were founded to promote the sanctity of life. That can sound very broad. So I know you guys have a lot of ministries. Can you tell us about the different ways the Sisters live out their mission?
Yeah, I think we would say, We were really founded by Cardinal O'Connor to be this powerhouse of maternal love in the world, and primarily through prayer and fasting, you know, asceticism of religious life. And so we really, our prayer is what fuels who we are and what we do in proclaiming the sacredness of the human person. And so obviously that love is poured out in our ministries and our apostolates, in which many surround actual, you know, hands-on material support for women that are pregnant in our visitation missions here in New York, in Toronto, Phoenix, and Philadelphia. But we serve women all across the country, and here in a special way at Sacred Heart of Jesus Convent, which is a holy respite for women to come and actually live with us during their pregnancy that are in particularly challenging circumstances. So I'll let Sister Benita talk about that.
Yeah, so we're really privileged here. Obviously, we're serving hundreds of women who are in crisis, of pregnant and in need, and some of them are able to come and live with us as our guests, we call them. You know, we're not a maternity home, we're not a program, we're not here to kind of fix them or solve their problems, but really we're a place of love, you know, to kind of receive them in love. And people kind of have this notion of the Sisters of Life, that we get to hold babies all day, but we say, you know, we love the mothers so that they can love their children. And so that's really who we're mothering. And what a privilege, yeah, the Holy Respite is for these women to, at a moment of major transition, maybe major crisis, major turning point in their life, what they need is a place of peace to receive the gift that they've been entrusted with, the gift of their maternity, the gift of their child, and to really kind of reclaim their life in a new way. And so we are really privileged to get to just see women come back to life as they mother their children.
We should just mention too, because it's a unique mission, I think, in our culture today, but so much needed, that we have a beautiful ministry of healing and reconciliation to those who've suffered abortion. And we have a dedicated convent with six sisters that are accompanying women that are, yeah, wanting to be reconciled back to the Lord and to themselves after that decision, and have suffered years and years of guilt and shame because of it. So that is also a mission where we see women come back to life too, and they coming into the fullness of receiving themselves as forgiven and loved by God, and being able to reclaim their life too in Jesus and in the resurrection. So it's beautiful to see their healing journey as well.
No, I think that's a really important thing to highlight, because a lot of people, I feel, immediately when they think of Catholics, anti-abortion, but we're a lot more than that, as with looking at your ministries and all the abortion healing that the Catholic Church wants for people.
Yeah, I think, you know, we, like you, Jillian, like kind of like you're just saying, you can't talk about serving pregnant women without talking about those who are suffering the effects of abortion in their life. So that's, we always talk about both, because they're both so in need of our care, our love, you know, and the Lord wants in all of these lives.
Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Because I know I am interviewing you guys and you're in there right now.
Sure. I'm trying to think. What do you want to know, Jillian? this was Cardinal O'Connor himself opened this house.
Yeah.
It's within walking distance of St. Patrick's Cathedral. Mm-hmm. He physically moved stuff in himself, and would walk down here from the cathedral. And yeah, he established this mission in his lifetime, you know, which is particularly special in terms of all of our missions, really, that this one he saw such a need for. And now, so because we've been here, we have women that we've served, children that were, you know, born here, or born at the hospital, you know, to come back here, over 20 years. So we have college kids coming back, you know, that I was born here, you know, and, or we keep in touch with their moms, you know, and at Christmas we get to see them. This past Christmas party, we had one of the moms brought her 22-year-old daughter who just graduated college, and she loved seeing all the other little kids, you know, and the little babies, and you know, gave her a tour of the convent so she could see, you know, this is where your mom spent her time. This is where she sort of dreamed of you, thought of you, and made plans. So, yeah, it's particularly special in that way.
Last year was the 25th
25th anniversary, yeah.
Yeah.
We say we're in the heart of Hell's Kitchen and we serve up love all day. So it's a house of celebration, you know, of new life. And we're planning a baptism for our latest baby who was just born in January, end of January.
Now, Sister Virginia Joy, you previously served as director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of New York. I don't know who can answer this question for me, but I know for a number of years, the Sisters of Life have staffed the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese. So can you guys tell me how that came about?
Actually, yeah, it came about, it's funny, I haven't been out of the office, I'm not up on my years, but it was through Cardinal Egan, mm-hmm. actually, mm-hmm. here in New York, who invited us to run, at the time, Family Life and Respect Life. Mm-hmm. So it's been over 20 years. I think it was around 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And you might know a little bit more
actually,
of the history.
Actually, I think 2000, almost. Closer to
2000. Closer to, yeah. Well, because Cardinal died, yeah, in 2000.
It must have been. Maybe it was after that.
A couple years after that. But mm-hmm. yeah, 2002, maybe, I think, because, mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah. So it's been such a privilege to serve the church, mm-hmm. and of all of our missions, that's the one where we're kind of actively maybe working within sort of the heart of the church, and we get to work with the parishes and the schools and, mm-hmm. you know, really, you know, with the USCCB and kind of our local, all the local deaneries, all the priests. It's such a privilege, really, to serve in that way.
Now, speaking of Cardinal O'Connor, as a society, you know, lay clergy, how can we continue his mission for protecting human life, especially in such a challenging world right now?
That's a great question. I mean, we would always say the first thing is prayer, you know, being faithful to living the Christian life, the sacramental life, and praying for all the efforts that are going on to uphold and to change hearts. You know, God changed hearts one at a time, and to continue to witness to the sanctity of human life, you know, and honestly, that takes so many different shapes and form for an individual and their own gifts. I was talking earlier to the sisters here that are helping this program called Walking with Moms. It's a USCCB program, and that's coming kind of to every diocese in the country, in which a parish kind of does an inventory on their own resources, and the parishioners themselves help to support women who are pregnant, but even past birth, women that can need ongoing support and can receive that from the church. So, I mean, plug into things like that in parish life, and bring your own gifts, your own unique gifts to the service of life and the capacities that you have. Because, yeah, there's no one way. There's sidewalk counselors. There's, you know, people that work in public policy, people that do on the ground serving moms and little babies. But there's so many ways in which you can contribute to the efforts to support the sanctity of the human person.
I was just going to say, you know, in John Paul II's The Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae, yeah, I think the first is just to know that everyone is called to this. Mm-hmm. Everyone is called on behalf of life. Like, this is not a select few that are kind of called to this type of ministry or this type of work or the building up of the sanctity of human life. Literally, everyone is called. And then, yeah, just to back up kind of what Mother said, I mean, working for the Archdiocese, kind of speaking to all the pro-lifers and students or those who are really praying on behalf of life, I always feel responsible to share. You know, we get to see the miracles every day of the women whose lives have changed, and kind of feel, you know, we have to be able to share those miracles with you, because really it's an answer to your prayers, you know, to the lay people's prayers, these mm-hmm. faithful people who are, you know, just praying the rosary every day, or who are praying intentionally for life. Cardinal O'Connor would often say, you know, a woman gets up in the morning and prepares to go to get an abortion. And somewhere along the way, you know, she changes her mind. She might receive a grace, whether she's on the train or walking towards the clinic, or she's already in the clinic, and she receives this grace to choose life. And we get to greet that woman. She comes to us. Mm-hmm. But that grace was won for her through mm-hmm. prayer. Mm-hmm. And that this is the kind of the mystery of our faith, right? That we don't get to see always the fruits of our prayer, but to know that God is answering them all the time.
thank you for taking the time out of, I'm sure, your busy days. But I just wanted to end with, for those interested, how can people get involved and help the Sisters of Life?
Yeah, you can go to our website, sistersoflife.org. We have a network of coworkers who help us. You know, our work's only possible with those we serve alongside. Mm-hmm. And kind of all the information you'd need would be on our website, mm-hmm. sistersoflife.org, and it would explain mm-hmm. what that process is like. We have sisters who would speak to you through that process. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jillian.
Thank you, Jillian.
Thanks for listening to the Capital Compass podcast, and thank you so much to Mother Mary and Sister Virginia Joy for coming on the show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be coming out with a new episode the last Wednesday of each month. If you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. To catch all the latest from the conference, you can follow us on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter, at NYS Catholic Conf, and on Facebook at NYS Catholic Conference. Thanks again, and God bless.